We're talking about weeping, crying, darkness. Yes, Christ's children experience this at times, okay? And it's part of our life, okay? I had copied, well, we won't go into that. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us now as we look at this subject and finish this section up today, Lord willing. And I pray that you would help us to just realize, how do we handle these things? How do we handle these things, Lord? And we might handle them well. I mean, there's no fella in my life going through more misery and discomfort and pain than Christian Sam. And what do we say? Lord, we pray that you would help them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, let me get myself organized here. I'm sorry, I kind of rushed in. Yeah, here we go. Okay. All right, a couple introductory stuff. Now, TikTok. I don't know anything about TikTok. I don't want to know anything about TikTok. But TikTok has a major influence on a lot of people. And one of the dear ladies in our church told Pam last week she's having the worst year of her life teaching school in the middle schools in Macomb County because TikTok has sent messages out, whatever they do, to destroy bathrooms in schools. And so in their school she's in, every day they come in, they rip the pipes off the wall, they just break, take something and break the toilets, steal all the paper, put all the toilet down there, flush the toilet, flood the place. She said, it's just awful. It's just awful. So I went on the internet, and this is kind of a national phenomena. Yeah. Can you believe that? Really something. So she was just saying it's been the worst of her, and she's like 45 years old. Dennis?
Why are they doing it?
Because TikTok. They get on the internet.
Yeah, but why, what's the motivation?
Oh, to be different. To be
dare or a challenge.
Yeah, dare or challenge.
Just for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it. Right. Sad. Hey, by the way, Dennis, he wasn't here last week. 220 came to our police honoring party. Cool. And Dennis was a key part of putting it together. Thank you, Dennis. Awesome. You know, this little two for a nickel guy came to me at first and said, hey, we think we might have 20 people at this party, you know, can you help out? And I said, no, I can't help because I had a family reunion. But anyway, it turned into 220. How you like that? Isn't that something?
Thanks, Spirit. God blessed the idea, and you all blessed it too.
Yeah.
And this church blessed it, and we reached out to those officers. We've had really wonderful feedback from them about they're saying back amongst themselves in the station, it was amazing.
Praise God.
Isn't that great? What a testimony. Yeah. What a testimony. We honored the police of Roseville. They came by. Here's an odd one. I've been to Harvard a few times on vacation. John Harvard founded the university as a Christian man. I think he died before he was 40 years of age, if I recall. But anyway, back in the 1600s, I think. But anyway, he wanted to train men for Christ and so on. Well, guess what? They've just hired a new chaplain, and he's an atheist. I'll try and figure out that one. Isn't that amazing? Bert, you got any insights in that?
No, I didn't.
You mean even Bert's speechless? Even Bert is speechless.
I didn't say I was speechless. I just said I didn't have the answer.
Yeah. You might have to say something that you would regret and have to...
It does show you what happens, though, when you take the eye off the mission.
Boy, do they ever.
Start as bad as...
No.
Started to train people for Christ.
Right.
And it became more about, you know, money and,
yeah.
and attracting students. And yeah. And it's one of the best educational places in the world, and it does not honor Christ.
No, not at all. So Harvard University, 20,000 students. It only costs $55,000 a year to go to. around that. Hey, a little fact checking. You know, I like statistics, and, you know, I got a little fact check last week. It is well with my soul that him. I did that off the top of my head, so I shouldn't have done it. But somebody corrected me. But that man wrote that one of the most wonderful hymns of a bygone day, and we still sing it. He wrote that hymn after he lost his family at sea, and he was to be on that boat possibly, okay? And he wrote that wonderful song. His name was, I think, Stafford or something like that. Yeah, there you go. Horatio Stafford, one of the most powerful hymns through the centuries. I also said in Psalm 88 that it was one of the saddest prayers in all of the Psalms, and I read you part of it. And boy, I'll tell you, he was pretty rough. But it looks like his brother may have written 89, and that's a positive song of hope and so on. So it was very interesting. I also want to say again, thank you for all the food that you're doing for the Sam family. Keep in mind, they can't go out of the house, okay? So it's a tough situation. I got a friend, I'll tell you his name at the end. He's about, I don't know, 50-ish. And they have grown children, married, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he's got a great job at General Motors, one of the most wonderful Christians I know in my life. They adopt 3 African-American beautiful children. I have their picture on my phone right now, but you wouldn't see it. I don't know, 11, 9, and 7. Okay? And they're bringing these children up. They renamed them all. Their mother was a hopeless drug addict. I think all 3 children were for 3 different men. I mean, you can just imagine what the future would have been for these dear children. Guess what? 2 got saved this week. 2 got born again. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And not through pressure, through just explaining it. I was saved at 7 years of age. I know all about it, and it was real.
Amen.
So I thought that was just his name. He doesn't go to our church anymore. I wish he did. Mel Stahl. Okay, I think that's the end of my... As I said last week, I didn't want to do this. Okay. A lament. The word lament, we mentioned last week, is a big part of parts of the Bible. Okay? Weeping and crying, distress, grief, times of lament, okay, come in our lives. So let's go to the lesson itself. Anybody want to say anything I've said so far? As I said, we've already started this. We're not going to go back and review it. We're going to start on page 2 and act like we just finished page 1 10 minutes ago, okay? Let's go down where it says 1 Kings. Everybody got it? 1 Kings 19, 4 through 8. Sharing some scriptures. Here's one of the most famous men in all the Bible. Somebody we look up to. Somebody we just love. Just love this guy. Elijah. Okay? Here's what he says. It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life away, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. I don't know what a broom tree is. Anybody know what a broom tree is? And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise, eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, for the journey is too great for you." And here it is, look at this. And he arose, okay? And he ate and he drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Have you ever had a time in your life that you can relate to this? That you honestly felt like, just, Lord, just take me. I'm ready to go. Anybody want to share? Anybody had that? Nobody wants to share it. I'll give you two quick illustrations. I was drafted, I told you, into the Marine Corps during Vietnam. I didn't want to do that. I'd just gotten married and the whole bit. Anyway, I go into boot camp, and it was just worse than awful. I mean, just awful. Just awful. And they beat you up. I didn't know they could beat me up in the Marine Corps. You know, I used to get slammed by this drill instructor, and he'd smack me around, and I'd think, man, hey, I thought I lived in America, you know? I didn't feel like dying, but I said, Lord, how am I going to get through this? You know, I really wondered how I was going to make it. It was rough. It was just downright nasty. But I made it. And then a church that started in our family room a long time ago, I don't know, 40 years ago at least, and grew to about 400 people, and we were just, I mean, we were going night and day for this assembly, you know? Really, really all out for it. Many people, many, many dozens of people saved in the community. I could go on and on. And then we had an awful split. It was just awful. And I told my two teenage daughters at that time, we're going to leave this church. I don't want to, but we're going to leave. And if I wasn't I told my kids this, if I wasn't a dedicated Christian, I wouldn't go to church ever again. Anybody ever feel that way? I was just so disgusted. And I kind of felt like Elijah, you know? Oh, my goodness. And then within, I don't know, 2 years, we found Cornerstone through Macomb Christian School. We found Cornerstone Baptist Church. Isn't that wonderful? So I can't say that I had feelings of wanting to commit suicide or anything. I just was so discouraged. I'll give you one more chance. Anybody got another one? All right. Now, here's a man who wants to die. He has just had a tremendous victory, okay, over the prophets of Baal. And all of a sudden, he fears for his life. Okay? His energy is just spent, you know. His service has taken everything out of him. And he asked the Lord, just take me out of here. I talked to Ray Dishman. Ray Dishman, one of the pillars of this assembly in a bygone day, not so long ago. He's been suffering insufferably for over a year. Cancer. Shoulder problems. Now he's got COVID. Been in the hospital for a month. Now he's got pneumonia. You know what he said to me 10 days ago? Russ, with a pretty strong voice. He says, Barry, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to be with my Lord. I don't want to leave. I've got grandchildren, so on. This guy's only like 60 years old. I don't know how old he is. He says, I'm ready to go. Wow. I thought, what a testimony. What a testimony. Okay. Back to this here. Reasoning and explaining are not the first things that God does with Elijah. You know? It's not the first thing. First, he takes care of his physical needs. There was a deep need there. Okay? The point of this is this. Suffering people need to be able to weep and to pour out their hearts and to not be fearful to share that with another Christian, okay? For fear that they'll never be respected again, okay? And to not be immediately shut down by being told what to do, okay? We want to make sure that we don't handle people like that, okay? When I was at Christian Sam's house, it'll be 2-3 weeks this Wednesday, I hardly uttered, you know, I have a big mouth. I hardly uttered a word. I hardly uttered a word. I just listened. And I wept. And I love them, those three beautiful children that he's got. They're under 5 years of age. Okay? There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, but let me tell you, there's a time to keep quiet and listen when people are suffering. So the Lord gets them a little nourishment, okay? And what a great man he was. God used him in a mighty way. And he was revived, okay? And he's one of the heroes of the Bible. Any other thoughts on that? Anything? Go ahead.
I have, I personally know people who, like you and I both, you know, have gone through struggles, whether it's a dear one die, and they have prayed for the restoration of the health of that individual, but in the life sequence, the individual was either called home but has left this world. They prayed, they wailed, they prayed, and then in the end they blamed God for the loss, and the bitterness separated themselves from fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Now, throughout this week and maybe last couple weeks, there's a scripture that keeps on coming and resurfaces about they have left the fellowship, but they left. They were not never part of the fellowship, but they left. And it's true. Some people might attend. Some people might be going to church 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Might have been there for years, but church attendance doesn't gain you salvation.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you're part of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Either.
When those tragedies happen, I have made mistakes in my life when I was young in the Lord where I did blame God. I did separate myself for a period of time. My faith was weak, and that had caused me great trials and tribulations in my life.
Yes.
And if I would have been stronger in my faith and abided in Him, I would have had less pain and suffering in my life.
Yes. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
But, you know, the thing is, he had just gone through the Mount Carmel incident.
Yes.
The prophets, and he's thinking, God, and all of the people, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. So he's thinking there's going to be a revival. You know, I mean.
Absolutely.
He's thinking, hey, we're on the way. And then what happened? Then he says, then God tells him, hey, bring in the rain, tell Ahab to run. And then he puts out a thing, and out runs Ahab. He went the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
And he's thinking, God is going to do something.
Yeah.
And then he gets there and he's told, hey, she's going to kill you today. And so all of a sudden, his hopes are dashed. You know, he thinks, wait a minute, God's not doing nothing.
Yeah.
But then God revives him, and then he tells him, hey, just because you don't see it, just because I don't meet your expectation doesn't mean I'm doing something. I got 7,000 people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I got, go anoint this guy as your help because he felt he was alone. And see, God doesn't always work on our timetable,
right,
or the way we think. And just because we have problems or things doesn't mean God's not at work.
Amen.
That's when he realized that, then he, you know, that's why he was so kind of depressed.
Yes, yeah. Good point. Thank you. I want to just share this quickly because I shared it last week. There's a sheet. These are folded there. It's a little sheet like this. A lot of the material we used for this class was from a book by Tim Keller. You know, Tim Keller has helped start 330 churches out over the world. I think there's over 5,000 people gathering today for the main church in New York City and so on, okay? He's now retired, but I know he's still involved. But anyway, he had pancreatic cancer, okay? And here's what he said. I was sitting. I was torn by grief. Someone came. By the way, pancreatic cancer kills about 97% of all that it hits. There's not much. It's a tough one.
That's right.
But he got healed. He got healed.
Wow.
I was sitting. Well, obviously the Lord had a great work for him. I was sitting, torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true, but I was unmoved except to wish that he would go away, and he finally did. Have you ever been sick and had a person visit you and do that to you? Preaching at you all the time? Well, we want to make sure we don't do that. Then he says, I had another brother come, and he sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, and he listened when I said something, and he answered briefly. He prayed, and he simply left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. Huh? I hated to see him go. And sometimes I think there's times when we can go and meet and encourage people who are going through darkness. I'm going to share next week an incredible story of a man who lost his son, I believe, in the last 3 weeks. A wonderful Christian man. You know? And he talks about the darkness, walking through the darkness, and how God got him through it. Wow. All right, let's go to this page where it says, we as Christians, I didn't number the pages. We as Christians. We need to realize that believers can stay in darkness sometimes for a long time. There can be valleys. There are valleys in this Christian walk. Okay? It's possible to pray and pray and endure, and things just don't get any better. You know, I remember a book I read, I don't know, 60 years ago. No, not that long ago. Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Okay? And it was really helpful. Not to say that none of us are really good, but we think we're better than the other. And he explained that to us. Things don't have to quickly work themselves out. Nor does it always become clear why this or that happened. Okay? Sometimes it takes time. I mean, Dan, you said 7 years you struggled. That's a long time. That's a long time. Have you ever had a struggle in your life that took quite a bit of time, a bit of darkness, and you wondered if it was ever going to end? Anybody? I'm sure it has been. I'm sure it has been for some of us. The Lord was truly abandoned by, because he was truly abandoned by God, we only seem to be or feel to be abandoned by him sometimes. But we aren't. Despite all these failures, we got to realize the Lord is there. Okay? The Lord is there. Because of Jesus, there's always hope, even the darkest moments of our lives. There's always hope. And that's the life we lead. You know? My wife went to Liberia, I think 3 times, but maybe 2. They are poorer than poor can be poor. And when you think you just got the poorest of the poor, double it and you got Liberia. But you know what she told me? And she still gets emails from these beloved people, the pastors. Do you know what she told me? And this was like 4 years ago, the last time she went. You know what she told me? These people have the joy of the Lord like you wouldn't believe. They are joyful. They have nothing. Nothing. And they're rejoicing that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they live that way. What a wonderful example. And I found the same. I told you this. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I always think of Patrick McGoldrick.
Yes.
And his holding to Christ, just that imprint on my life watching him.
Amen.
Still something I get choked up about watching him.
Yes. He was our youth pastor maybe 7 years ago. Died of, like at 45 or 7 years of age, of what is it called? Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. But I'll tell you what, the day we had the funeral, there was over 1,000 people there. There was over 1,000 people at that funeral. What a testimony it was. And his unsaved father was there. And I witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. His unsaved father was there and is still not saved. Yep, thank you. Good illustration. All right, let's take a look at this verse one more time. Romans 5:3-5. Romans 5, 3 through 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's the life we lead. By the way, Patrick McGoldrick, when Patrick was dying, he said to my wife, "Would you be a Christian mother to my daughter, Paige?" Okay? Well, Paige got married and so on, and Pam keeps in touch. And she was in town for a business meeting this week, and Pam had dinner with her. Isn't that wonderful? Had dinner with her, and Paige is doing fantastic. Sold out for Jesus Christ, just like her father. Isn't that great?
Awesome.
So I thought it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I like that for a verse. Put that one on your refrigerator. Comfort yourself. This is very important. What the real point of this is, that the Christian is not one who has been immune to what is happening around. Okay? The Christian has something that enables him to rise above these things. But the glory of the Christian life is that you rise above them even though you feel them. Okay? Don't be like some hyper-Calvinists seem to be in a bygone day. Think that you shouldn't have feeling, that there's not going to be weeping and crying in the Christian life. There is. Okay? There's going to be. I've got a nephew. We were with him a week ago in Imlay City. This guy's imploding, 17 years old. Absolutely imploding. Okay? He's a Christian boy. But he has gone into a deep distress in his life. And it's so sad. And we're trying to help him. Now, lastly, see this sheet here? This one here. As you encourage and visit and help people, these are some phrases that we tend to use, okay? And I use these phrases a lot with people, okay? I do. But be careful how you use them. Sometimes we always want to give, you know, the instruction. And I don't know if that's always the wisest thing, okay? Just like in the case of Elijah, the Lord helped him physically first and then got him on the right path. So these are some phrases. Have you used them? Anybody familiar with them? They're good, but use them carefully, okay? All right, that ends, believe it or not, we are done 10 minutes early. That ends the class. Any comments? Any insight that you got in the last 2 weeks on weeping and suffering? Come on, somebody's got to have a couple.
Barry,
yes.
When you read that verse about, you know, true faith in the midst of trials, you know, paraphrase, you know, there's such a large segment of the visible church that would claim true faith is being able to pray these things away. You know, true faith is getting healed, to have enough faith to get healed, which is bogus. But we see from that and all through the scriptures that true faith is trusting God and believing God even when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
We're suffering greatly. You know, it's the total opposite.
Yeah. I mean, you're going through a measure of this. Huh? You can relate to this. And it seems unsolvable right now. You know, you wonder, how, Lord, what are you going to do here? We got a family at stake. Brother?
I'm yet young. I have not experienced much.
A little louder.
I'm yet young. I have not experienced much of life. But growing up, I attended a church where I saw what occurred with two men. Both were pastors at the church. One was pastor of congregational care, and he went through something pretty comparable to what I would say what Job went through. Their house burned down. His son was wounded in Iraq very badly. He lost two of his sons in a car accident, one of whom was a good friend of mine. His daughter moved to Venezuela as a missionary, which praise God, but you know, he missed her. He lost his job, he lost his pastoral job due to things going on in his life. And he went from being a pastor at the church and a strong advocate for the faith, he is now one of the most militant atheists that I know. And the other man was the head pastor of the church, actually Pastor Bob was roommates in seminary with him.
Wow.
Pastor Dan Cummings. He died of colon cancer, and he knew about it for a year beforehand, and he knew that it was just progressing and it was not going to get better. And he spent that year preparing us for it and telling us that suffering and pain is God's way of stripping away all the unimportant things in life and allowing you to take a magnifying glass to who you really are and where your faith really lies, and that pain can either bring you closer to God, as it did our church, or it can expose your lack of faith for what it really is, as it did to that pastor.
Wow. What a contrast, eh? Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, Barry, I heard Dan Cummings at a Sovereignty of God conference preach one of his last messages. I should find that. I'll send it to the class. It's online. Just, you know, he was near, it was close to the end, and he made this conference and talked about the sovereignty of God and suffering. And just, wow.
Wow.
So I'll pick that up and send it out.
Good. Any other thoughts?
There have been times in this last year where we have felt totally overwhelmed in a dark pit. I've never seen my husband weep so much as he's done this year. But the thing that keeps us going and all around us looks terrible is the consistency of reading the Bible, whether we can absorb it at the moment or not. Reading it, God's word doesn't return void. Going through the Psalms.
Yes.
And listening to godly music. And for us, it's been hymns. And we just listen to the hymns and we find ourselves humming them and singing them. And God, one day, gives us a song in our heart. Yesterday, the song wasn't there. But He is there.
Amen.
And it's been the thing that has actually kept us from sinking.
Did you hear that? Yeah. It can be dark times, folks. But we got a great Savior. Well, we got a great Savior. Dennis?
One quick thing. If we're the suffering party and we pray for relief, we need to know that God doesn't have physical hands or arms, but he does use a gift that he has given us called the body of Christ.
Amen.
To surround us about.
Yeah.
To lift us. That's how God answers prayer.
Yeah.
And when we pray, we might have a certain thing in our mind that we would like to happen. God answers prayer would that gift called the body of Christ?
Yeah.
I've experienced that comfort and joy.
Amen.
For many times here.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the best morning of the week is being with the Lord's people, as far as I'm concerned. I had a pretty good job. I mean, I really enjoyed my job. I loved it. Banking, all that stuff, you know, getting free tickets to U of M football games and all that. I mean, you know, going on 60-foot boats, all this crazy stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, on Wednesday night, it was wonderful to come and be with God's people, praying, sharing, and having the word explained to me on a Wednesday night. To me, it was the best hour of the week. You know what I'm saying? In comparison. That's how I felt. All that stuff was fine. But the Lord's people.
That's right.
One more. One more. Anybody? Father, we thank you for saving us. I don't know how people make it without you, Lord. I don't know. I mean, they're filling their lives with all this crud and all this craziness that's going on, Lord. What are they teaching their children? Wow. I thank you.
Amen.
That you saved me.
Amen.
And we've had times of great distress. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to go through it for a minute, Lord, without you.
Yes, sir.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week.